What if? Life is full of what ifs. We all have them. We all wonder what could have been or what might be. One particular what if had been on my mind for weeks leading up to the big game. I examined this particular what if at length and in excruciating detail. What if it was halftime at the Super Bowl? And in the middle of the field, there was a large, circular curtain. The crowd was expecting some elaborate stage with superstar performers. But the curtain dropped, and it was only me there. Me, tied with my hands over my head, to a metal pole, naked. Total, stunned silence. You could hear a man sneeze in the upper decks. And whatever evil mastermind had orchestrated this event had ensured that the network couldn't cut away. I was exposed not only to something like 75,000 people in person, but also to 100 million television viewers. Then the flashes started. Soon all I could see were thousands of tiny starbursts, as every camera in the stadium recorded my vulnerability, my humiliation. And I knew that for every flash, there was a phone recording video of the event. So caught up in my shame was I, that I failed to notice the teams reemerge from the locker rooms. They met at midfield, where I stood, bound and exposed. A referee marched forward, and their respective team captains joined him. I heard on the PA system as someone said the word tails, and a coin was tossed, glinting in the stadium lights before falling back to the turf. Tails it was. The crowd cheered loudly, and I was cut down. For me, the game was just beginning. Rough hands grabbed me and pulled me into the group of players who had won the coin toss. What happened next would immortalize the event in not just television history, but world history. The whole team was there, not just the starters and second stringers, but all of them. Backbenchers, offense, defense, every last one of them, even the support staff. And I knew that they were all going to fuck me then, and I wanted them to. These men, these big, no, huge men, they towered over me, dwarfing me, making me feel as weak and powerless as a small child. I hadn't given them permission. There was no agreement in place. There was nothing I could have done to stop them, however. They were going to take me whether I wanted it or not. But I did want it. I wanted it more than anything in the world. None of them knew how I really felt, of course. Nor did they care. I was forced to my knees, and one man laid down in front of me. Then I was shoved down onto my hands. I looked up, and in front of me was a giant of a man, his huge penis in hand, and an evil gleam in his eyes. In moments, pants were coming down, and there were dozens of half-naked men surrounding me. They still had their pads and jerseys on. Some even still wore helmets. But when the man under me first thrust up into my cunt, the cheers, the deafening cheers from the crowd. It was like someone had scored a touchdown. Just this exhilarating wave of sound that hits you, almost like a physical force. I wasn't sure if they were cheering for me or for the team, but it didn't matter. I felt it all the same. Then the man behind me forced his cock into my ass, while the man in front, the big linebacker, grabbed my hair and shoved his fat dick into my mouth. I was airtight in front of an entire stadium and the millions upon millions of people watching at home. I felt so deliciously full. In my life, After the event, I would find it difficult to orgasm without recreating the sensation. So ruined was I by the whole experience. Nothing else would compare. The big men were fucking me savagely, viciously. To them, I was merely a collection of convenient wet holes, tight sleeves for their cocks. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it, and would not have stopped it, even if I could have, for all the money in the world. I felt every bit of their brutal strength as they used me mercilessly to take their pleasure. But then more men pressed forward. My arms were grabbed and my hands wrapped around two more cocks. Then I felt two more in my armpits. I was surrounded by shoulder-to-shoulder men, all struggling to find some part of my body to fuck, jockeying and jostling one another to find any two bits of flesh to press together to form a makeshift cunt for them to stick their dicks in. As one player would finish, so another would take his place. My body was folded and contorted into painful positions, just so room for another dick could be made. Occasionally, I would catch a glimpse of the gigantic stadium screen showing slow-motion replays of me getting fucked, and one of the players blasting cum onto my face. I could even hear the announcers ridiculously giving the play-by-play on the PA system. Load after load of hot cum was shot into every orifice and onto my entire body. I lost track of time. My whole world was rough men using and abusing me like a center field sex doll. My whole world was cocks ramming hard into my wet holes or fucking any pocket of vulnerable flesh they had managed to create. So many huge cocks in me and on me. Watching it later, at one point I counted 9 men simultaneously fucking me, or parts of me at least. But before I knew it, the whistle blew. They all had finished. Every last member of the team and staff had fucked me in some form or fashion, and either shot his load in me or on me. I tried to stand up, but my muscles were like jelly. My legs shook like a newborn doe, and I collapsed back to my knees. It was then that I noticed that the other team was now beginning to crowd around. Meanwhile, in people's homes, I would later learn, boyfriends were fucking their girlfriends while watching me get gangbanged on TV. Husbands ravaged wives, and Super Bowl parties turned into orgies. Never in the history of the world had so many people been having sex at one time. And all because they were watching me pull a massive train on live television at the Super Bowl. I knew I would be immortalized for this event. For the people who didn't see this happening to me live, it would be all over the internet the next day. It would be the top story on the news for weeks. Porn sites would be flooded with stills and videos from this epic gang fuck. But these thoughts were interrupted by more strong hands on me and more naked cocks aimed at my body. The other team fucked me just as hard. Actually, harder. They were naturally trying to outdo the performance of their rivals. I was starting to become sore. All my holes fucked raw by well over 100 powerful and determined men at this point, with many more to go. The sheer savagery of my treatment shocked just as much as it delighted the onlookers, I think. It all became a blur of cocks and cum and pain and pleasure, hair pulling, choking, ass slapping, tit grabbing, you name it, and someone had done it to me there on the 50-yard line for all the world to see. To these people, participants and spectators alike, I wasn't truly a human being anymore. The notion that I was someone, a sentient person, had died long ago. Now, I was just a fuck toy, a rape doll, a life support system for a trio of fuckholes, a filthy piece of meat meant only to be used, abused, and filled to overflowing with hot, sticky cum. Once again, as one man finished, another eagerly took his place. No hole was ever empty of cock for more than a few seconds. But eventually this team too was finished with me. I lay in the middle of the field, quivering, exhausted. I was an organic cum dumpster. The grass was soggy with spilled cum, and every inch of my body had been splattered with it. I have no idea just how much cum was pumped down my throat or into my cunt and ass, but even after several minutes, I could still feel it leaking out of me. The final buzzer sounded. My game was over. Or so I thought. I managed to sit up, somewhat dazed, but now the field was largely empty. The stands were still packed, however, and I could feel the excitement and energy coursing through the stadium. Then it happened. The first man over the railing and onto the field was like the breaking of a dam. In seconds, it became a stampede. From every direction, a wall of horny men charged towards center field. Towards me. I could feel the ground shake as they all converged on me, like medieval armies rushing to battle. The wave was barely able to stop before trampling me into the turf. On every side, I could see only men and only cocks. They crowded close, so close, just a living wall around me. I could barely even move, and they were all jerking off. There would be no sex this time. It was just not possible due to the mass of bodies around me, and would have likely been fatal with something near 50,000 men all waiting their turn. No, this time I was going to be nothing more than a cum target. I don't really know how long it went on, but there was still a considerable crowd remaining when the sun came up the next day. I had been absolutely drenched in cum. I had stopped offering my open mouth hours before. I had drunk so much cum that I felt sick and bloated, as load after load after load was shot onto me. It began to dry and build. Layer upon layer caked my body, always being renewed and expanded. There was so much that I could feel the weight of it, and my tired muscles struggled to keep me upright. I'm sure I passed out a few times, but that never stopped the constant spray of cum raining down on me. They just propped me up and kept on shooting their loads. I probably could have died there, and it wouldn't have stopped them. By now, my hair was just a solid mass of thousands of cum loads. My eyes and lips were frequently became glued shut by drying jizz, and there were times I had to desperately clear the cum caking my nostrils, lest I suffocate. My face became a distorted mask of ever-increasing spunk. I was barely even recognizable as a human, but eventually, after a seeming eternity, this too ended when the last man came on my face. He was the only one to turn and thank me. I fell unconscious before I could tell him that he was welcome. I became somewhat of a celebrity after that. I was the most well-known person in the world. Just about everyone on the planet with a TV, computer, or smartphone had seen my face, both cum plastered and not. I did all the morning shows, of course, and signed off on a book and movie deals. I had broken dozens of world records, and had had to have dozens more created to catalog the scope of the undertaking. I received million-dollar endorsement contracts, first for sex products, but eventually for mainstream goods. My act had started a sexual revolution of sorts, fostering discussion and openness, shattering many of the long-standing taboos that had kept humanity repressed for millennia. A few years later, that day, February 1st, became a global sexual holiday, celebrated in every country on Earth, except North Korea. In many ways, the spectacle of my being publicly violated brought the people of the world closer together. Of course, there were still plenty who were unhappy about it all, but they ended up being in the minority. Most people are smart enough to know a good thing when they see it.